This is 24/7 Sports Hub Radio. And now, with their always informative and often entertaining take on the sports news of the day, here are Jonathan Ragus and Jim Williams.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of 24/7 Sports Hub Radio. I am your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, is my partner in crime, Jim Williams. What's going on, man?
What up, fellow PIC? I am not hip. Doing okay. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of 24/7 Sports Hub Radio, my friends. Lot to get to today. A special guest coming up in about 15 minutes' time, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Actor du jour, let's say. D.B. Sweeney will be joining us, talking about his new movie, Underdogs. I saw the trailer for it. Looks really, really good. We'll want to talk to him about that and maybe a little bit about high school football as a whole, because that plays a big role in the movie. But also, a lot of sports to talk about. I mean, we have football, we've got baseball. Technically, we could go four sports today with what the topics we have at hand, but we still have time, ladies and gentlemen, for you. Other shows don't have time. We have time for you, ladies and gentlemen. Here's how you get in touch with us. We have a chat room. You log on to Blog Talk Radio. You go to the show page. You sign up. Chat room. Boom. Any comments or questions, send them this way. We will read them periodically. In fact, if you have a question for D.B. Sweeney, that'd be a great way to hit us up with that right there. You could also give us a call, 347-237-5373. That's 347-237-5373, or the Skype button at the top above the player. So a lot to get to. Let's start with Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football, and what should have possibly been a blowout by the Seattle Seahawks wasn't, especially considering that, guess what? For the St. Louis Rams, former Jet Kellen Clemens taking the snaps for them. But the Seahawks did win to move to 7-1 in the season, 14-9. Russell Wilson with two touchdowns in the game. Kellen Clemens, no touchdowns, two interceptions. But, wow, what a game from running back Zach Stacy. Exactly. If you're asking who, I asked the same thing as well. Jim, what did you think of this one?
Well, obviously, this was the second most important game in St. Louis on that night. We'll talk about the first most important game a little bit later on in the program. Zach Stacy had himself a coming-out party. The rookie, 26 carries, 134 yards against a pretty good Seattle defense. But this is just one of those games that leaves me eternally scratching my head, because Russell Wilson did not look great. He was efficient, sort of, kind of. He threw for almost half, only 18 passing attempts. I mean, I know I harp on balanced offenses, but this is ridiculous. Marshawn Lynch did nothing.
Shut down.
Shut down by
But only eight carries, though.
Still. I mean,
still, it was only 2.9 yards per click that he averaged when he got the ball. But it's Marshawn Lynch. Why would you only give him eight carries?
This is a game, and many analysts on the four-letter and three-letter and two-letter and one-number networks said it best. This is a game that statistically St. Louis won. They should have won. Even with Kellen Clemens, two interceptions, this is a game they should have won, should the Rams have. And it came down to the final play of the game. They were driving in the fourth quarter. They were within a yard or two of the end zone, and they just couldn't bring it home.
No.
So heartbreak for St. Louis, losing 14-9. But
and they had the time of possession, 38:09 to 21:51.
That's just criminally insane.
I mean, how do you have that time of possession and not win a football game?
It was just simply put an ugly, ugly game to watch. Yeah. But, you know, we talk about heartbreak for St. Louis. We should also talk about heartbreak for Seattle coming down the road. If this team wants to be taken seriously as a team that can win the National Football Conference and go to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to figure out their offense and stat, because one of the people they were banking on, Sidney Rice, he gone because he tore his ACL.
He didn't really do anything in this game either.
Well, Sidney Rice hasn't been on the team pretty much all season, but what I'm getting at is he was supposed to be coming back in the next week or two. At least that was the theory, but nope, it just got worse. The ACL,
I didn't see where he got injured, though. Did you see where he got injured?
According to NFL.com and Dan Hansis, it occurred Midway through the second quarter, he suffered injuries to the knee and head before exiting. And Rice was trying to come back because I know he had been this is a guy who has had a bad year. This is a guy who has had issues. He had a non-surgical treatment on his knee in advance of the season. He then underwent platelet-rich plasma transplant treatment. That's always fun.
Yeah, he's been a mess for a while.
He's been a mess, and he's due $8.5 million next year. It's almost to the point, cut ties.
Yeah. Hate to see it happen, but...
But, I mean, the law of averages would have said he would have actually had a hand in things had this team gone down the stretch run. He would have picked his game up, the law of averages would have told me.
Oh, no doubt about it.
But,
no doubt about it. I mean, you know, he's a good wide receiver. I mean, of course, any quarterback would want to have him on their team.
Yeah, Russell Wilson notwithstanding.
Yeah, you got him on your team. You're not going to be able to throw to him.
Right, right.
Damn shame.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that the Rams lost this game, though, especially with Kellen Clemens. Two interceptions, man. They still should have won this game.
Yeah.
Now Zach Stacy didn't get a touchdown.
Well, again, it's chewing up the 20s. That's what it comes down to, chewing up yardage between the 20s.
Yeah. But the good thing is, for your fantasy football teams out there, if you picked Golden Tate, you got some good points.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. He had a nice game Monday night in front of a capacity crowd of like 23,000 probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the empty stadium was just a half-empty stadium. It's like, what, TNA was here? What?
TNA?
Impact, what, they would kill for 23,000 people. Who am I kidding?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you don't know, Jim and I, we got ourselves a little contest going on here where we pick the winners of each game. Of course, we picked the Thursday games on our Wednesday show, and we picked the rest of the week on our Friday show. And
right, right.
Pretty good. You still got a one-game lead, but we both went 12-1.
Yeah, we are beast mode. We are the high-five and white guys when it comes to this.
We are in beast mode. Unfortunately, I don't think this week coming up is going to be as easy as the previous week was.
Well, nothing's going to be that easy, but I'm going to tell you right now, you look at the slate of games, there are only one, maybe two games that make you say, I think I want to watch that game.
Agree.
And I hate to say it, they're the bookends of the entire week. The Thursday game looks kind of intriguing, and the Monday night game. Everything else,
I agree. I would like to see the Jets and Saints, though. I mean, not only just because I'm a Jets fan, but Jets keep going on that one pattern, so it would be nice to see if they could actually upset the New Orleans Saints. I don't see it happening.
Here's why you want to see the Jets and Saints. Not because you're a Jets fan, not because you want to see the Jets win. You are a masochist. Because New Orleans should raffle stomp.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They should just roll over the Jets in this game. But we'll get on to that on Friday, of course.
That'll be Friday, yeah.
But let's talk about the Thursday night game, and that is the 6-2 Cincinnati Bengals headed down to Florida to take on the 3-4 Miami Dolphins. And what a season Andy Dalton is having so far.
He is, in the words of the Iron Sheik, he is the real. AJ Green helping him out. Simply put, Miami's still trying to figure themselves out, and we're at midseason, which is never a good sign. I'm going to go with Cincinnati on the road.
I'm going with Cincinnati as well. I mean, what a drop off from the 3-0 Miami Dolphins that we saw after Week 3.
Yeah, they just haven't figured it out.
No, they've just blown apart. And for the people who told me that I was nuts for dropping Lamar Miller because he was supposed to be some kind of a running back stud.
The next best thing to slice bread. How you like him now?
And I picked up Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, you know what, man? Lamar Miller, he's got the makings of somebody that could be a good running back in this league. Possibly could. Who knows? I mean, you know, it's, running back's career isn't as long as it is. But right now he's not doing that good, Lamar Miller. So.
And again, the fact that running backs are an afterthought in the 2013 National Football League as well. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
10 after 12 here at 24/7 Sports Hub Radio. We should be joined by our guest actor DB Sweeney within the next few minutes or so. So let's get into this story and stick with the NFL trend, Jim. Steve Young,
your main man,
former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Steve Young, he's going to collect $1 million next year.
He is making more money this year, and we're not talking ESPN money, ladies and gentlemen, because whatever. But here he is, Steve Young, about 30 years since he signed his USFL contract, will be making $1 million this year for doing nothing.
Yes.
while Russell Wilson is making about $666,000, let's say, give or take by comparison. Now, how did this happen? Again, his USFL contract. You say it five times fast. You'll flub it up, too. I will read this from CelebrityNetWorth.com. In order to make the contract work, now, Young agreed to a most unorthodox deal. He got a signing bonus. Good for you. Mm-hmm. He earned just $200,000 in his first year with the New Jersey Generals, owned by, of course, the great Donald Trump, which is huge. Then he would make $280,000 the next year, $330,000 by year four, $400,000 by year five. The remaining $30 million owed to him in his contract would be pretty much backloaded as follows. He would get payments that escalate to $1 million per year starting next year. 2014, he'll be making $1 million. Then $2.4 million, eventually topping out at $3.173 million. Wow.
Smart business.
Absolutely.
You know, and a lot of people would probably look and say, wow, these owners are stupid. No, you know what? Steve Young was smart.
He beat the system is what that is. That's yeah. just, and how I'm going to, and we talked about this after I linked you to it after the show on Monday.
Yes.
I would love to see some player. Now, it's not going to happen in this day and age because you rightly told me the days of super agents and Jay-Z doing this and Drew Rosenhaus and I'd like to see this kind of deal come back.
You know what? I think you will, but it's going to take a different breed of an athlete to make this deal happen. It's going to take an athlete with a real business savvy, a real knowledge to make something like this happen. We've seen Steve Young do this now, and a lot of people, you know, and I'm going to link it to former New York Mets infielder Bobby Bonilla. And
right,
with the deal he's getting, he's collecting a paycheck from the New York Mets way after his playing days, and he's going to be collecting it way after the Wilpons are probably gone.
Yeah.
Smart business. You know what? You can knock the owners of, what was this, the USAFL or something like that? USFL. You can knock them. You can knock the owners of the LA Express, whoever else that was involved in this deal. But you got to give props and you got to give credit to guys like Steve Young and Bobby Bonilla for putting something out here. But guess what? The teams agree to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bigger thing, is the teams agree to it. And I don't know. Who's paying for it anyway? Where's it coming from? Because the USFL is no more.
I'm trying to see here. I believe it's an investment firm, an insurance company. So it's essentially like the Lloyd's of London thing where, you know, you're paid out to an insurance company and they stake the rest of it. According to this, Investment Mortgage International, which is interesting.
Wow.
excuse me. So, you know, you tip your hat again to Steve Young. You just tip your hat to him because that's just—it's just a brilliant move. You're not going to see that kind of thing happen. And you say, "Well, we're going to need an athlete that has business savvy skills." Well, I'm going to give you a little hint. You're not going to see many Harvard graduates play in the NFL.
No.
So, you know, little shot at the Ivy League, posh. But those are the kind of people who would know that kind of stuff.
We see one playing in the NBA, but we'll get into that later because...
Oh, will we ever? Yes.
That is going to be good. But, you know, I'm looking here right now. Lee Steinberg, who was Steve Young's agent, you know, he insisted that the contract was to be insured just in case team or the league folded. And that is the main reason why he is getting paid right now.
Tip the hat to Steinberg as well, because he knew what was going on. And you know what? That's really key, especially because, I mean, this was the startup league, and the USFL has been, outside, of course, of the old AFL when they actually merged, the greatest challenger, quote-unquote, to the NFL, and they only lasted about, what, 4 or 5 seasons? Because, ooh, we're going to go head-to-head against the NFL in our next season. No, that kind of failed. Miserably failed, matter of fact. So, excuse me, fighting some froggies in my throat. That's exciting. But, yeah, I mean, just a great, great deal. A great story, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And this guy, not that he wasn't already with his NFL money, but the guy's set for life.
Do you think with this story, and of course with the Bobby Bonilla story floating around for the last, six, seven seasons now, do you think that owners of teams in itself... general managers are like, you know, they don't want to go down as being the guy who would sign a deal, you know, sign off on a deal like this. So this is probably never going to happen again either way.
See, in theory, yes, but in practicality, you hear all the time about teams that are wanting to get under the salary cap, get under this, get under that. This is the best way you do that, at least, you know, with the players you have now. You think right now Ruben Amaro Jr. here in Philadelphia would love to put everybody on these kind of deals. That way they can be under the cap and he could still buy a bunch of no-name has-been players. Oh, wait. Well, sad. I'm bitter. Sorry, I'm a bitter man.
Yeah.
It hurts. It hurts.
Yeah.
Ruben Amaro Jr., he stings. But
that would be the guy to do it.
Well, or the Steinbrenners, quite frankly. I'd love to see them do that, but no, they're too busy giving A-Rod $252 million or whatever.
You know what? I guess some of these people would probably think, you know what, let's sign it because by the time this deal runs out and this kicks in, we probably won't even be around. We probably won't even be here. So we're not going to, you know, hear the hate from the fans. We're not going to feel the animosity from them.
Mm.
Wonder if that's one of the particulars about signing somebody to a deal like this, because I would love to be a fly on the wall when a contract like this is being discussed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. It's fun fodder, as it were.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. Good stuff.
We're still waiting for our guest actor, D.B. Sweeney, to join us. So, in the meantime...
By the way, we'll plug quickly, if you want to find out about the movie, underdogsofthemovie.com. There are a couple of trailers that automatically play at the top left corner of the screen. I got to see some of the trailers, and it's really interesting. It's a look at high school football based on a true story, if I'm not mistaken. That's kind of unique. It's not the Friday Night Lights material, to say the least. Something, and maybe we'll ask him. We'll draw comparisons, you know, about Friday Night Lights and high school football and the romanticism people have with it,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know him from Jericho. You know him from. I mean, most recently he's been doing bit parts here and there on just about. You name a popular television show, he's been on it.
Yeah, he was just on Two and a Half Men.
Yes.
Yeah. So
winning. Oh wait, wrong era. I'm sorry. That's
and of course one of the roles he's known for throughout whoever watches sports movies or whoever watches movies in general is The Cutting Edge with Moira Kelly. I mean, I honestly haven't met anybody that's never seen it.
There you go.
You know. Oh, man, I tell you. Looking down the list of all the great things that he's done, it's amazing. I could pick out TV shows and movies I remember seeing him on but kind of forgot about it because I always go back to Eight Men Out or The Cutting Edge or Miracle at St. Anna, the Spike Lee movie, which I loved. I thought that was great. And
oh, sure.
You played a good part in it. So as we wait for Dibby, you want to get into a little bit of MLB and preview the World Series?
Yeah, let's get to it. Game 5 was Monday night. It was a do-or-die game. No, it wasn't. It was a break-even game, really, because both teams were tied at 2 games apiece. And we had a bit of a pitcher's duel. John Lester, though, came up bases. Allowing a Matt Holliday shot, 7 2/3 frames complete there. David Ross broke a tie in the seventh inning. Ortiz, this is the story of the series. Forget the pitching. David Ortiz is hitting at like a 700 clip. It's insane.
Monster time.
And then Koji Uehara came on with a perfect 4-out save. Boston wins 3-1 to take a 3-2 series lead in two. Fenway.
Koji's awesome, man. Let me tell you, man. I love Koji Uehara, man. He's
your main man. Just
he's
saying.
My main man, man. You know, I'm going to go moderate shot and say Koji Uehara is my main man. We actually, one of our writers, I believe it was Yossi Goldstein, just wrote up all of Koji over on 247sportshub.com, calling him the Red Sox biggest secret weapon right now.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's just now getting the respect he deserves.
Plus, he had that pickoff, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. To end game 4. Absolutely. The one that Fox never caught because they were too busy looking at an attractive-looking Cardinals fan who was about to go emo on us.
Mm-hmm.
Cue up the snow patrol. So there you go. Pitching matchup for tonight's game number 6. John Lackey will look to fight for a championship in the honor of his team at home, but he'll have to do it against the Phenom. Mr. October in pitching.
Fozzie Bear.
Michael Waka Waka Waka.
That's, you know,
I'm telling you, game seven tomorrow night.
If you're going to be down a game, going into a game where another team could win it, at this point in time, what better pitcher to put out there than Michael Waka?
And you never thought you would say that, did you?
I honestly, I can say this with, you know, and be totally straightforward with you about this. Before the playoffs, I never even heard of Michael Waka.
Agreed.
And I don't think anybody has, unless you're a Cardinals fan.
Well,
or unless he pitched against your team and you just happen to remember the name Michael Waka. But I don't remember hearing about Michael Waka.
Yeah, what, and he had a great rookie season, all things told, in the regular year. But in the postseason, my goodness, he's only allowed 3 earned runs in 27 innings. He becomes the 17th pitcher in the history of this grand game to win at least 4 games in a single postseason. Opponents are hitting just 122 off him in the postseason, which is going to play in line with the Red Sox, because outside of Poppy, everybody else is hitting like maybe 150 in this year. You know, I'm not a big believer of there's one guy. You know me. I mean, there's no I in team, but in Boston, yeah, there is, and his name is David Ortiz.
Yeah.
And it goes back to something I think I referenced on Monday's program where – you know, I was the biggest test to me for Boston in this series was the 3 games in St. Louis. If for nothing else, the fact that David Ortiz had to field. He had to be at first base if they wanted to keep that bat in. So I was wondering, and I was skeptical, could he keep it up? Could he keep, you know, everything in check? And he did so, and then some.
And he has been playing on the field, right?
Yeah, he played all 3 games first base.
Wow.
You know, when he's in an American League park, heck with that.
Hey, was he got five home runs, 13 RBIs this postseason?
Jeez. Insane.
This is probably his best postseason going since 2004. We had the 19 RBIs.
I've got a friend. Well, I guess we mutually have a friend who's going to tonight's Game 6. That's going to be interesting. And he's a Cardinals fan.
A Cardinals fan at Fenway. I don't know how that's going to be. But,
hey, it's Waka. It's
Waka.
Waka.
He might get to see history, man.
One way or the other.
It might be Boston history, or it could be even Cardinals history with Michael Waka. If he blows up and has another monster game for the Cardinals, I mean, look out. I mean, you know what, man? If Cardinals could get this game, it could really – I don't know who would be the favorite in Game 7.
It would be Boston.
I really don't know.
It would be Boston. It would be Boston. I would stake my reputation on it.
Who would start? So it would be Jake Peavy versus Joe Kelly. And Jake Peavy hasn't really had a good playoff.
Officially, they haven't been announced, so...
That's the assumption it would be right now.
Right.
But honestly, who else would it be?
Well, you're right.
You know, would the Cardinals throw out Wainwright after he just pitched Monday night? It was him, right? Monday night, right?
3 days rest? You know what?
If he hasn't had a good you know, World Series so far.
If you're going to play for a championship,
versus Wainwright.
Yeah.
You know, if I look at it that way, I would have to go with Boston if it's Lester over Wainwright. Wainwright just hasn't looked good.
He has not. He's been shaky, to say the least.
Yeah.
Almost as shaky as Tim McCarver trying to make analogies during the game. It's very, very sad, very shaky. But, Game 6 tonight, Game 7 if necessary, Halloween night. And on Friday, we'll recap it all. We'll let you know if duck boats or whatever the Cardinals do, flatbed trucks, I guess, they're just generic like everybody else, are going to be running down the winning streets of the winning hometown. By the way, talk about history. If the Red Sox win either tonight or tomorrow night, it'll be the first time they have clinched at home since way back in the 19-teens.
Wow.
Because remember, the 2 world championships they won last decade, they were both clinched on the road.
History, my friend, history.
Yeah, so, you know, Boston may go up in flames. That's it's going to be insane. If it's anything like what happened in Philly in 2008, look out, Boston. Look out, Boston PD.
It's going to be a good game, man. I think I might have to tune in.
Yeah, absolutely. And the ratings, thank you for segueing. You gave me something nice to mention there. The ratings have actually ticked upward a little bit. for this series.
How much is a little bit?
Well, I mean, listen, again, the 1,000-channel universe that we live in, you're not going to get the ratings of 20 years ago. I get that. But the series, let me see if I can bring up the link very quickly. They beat Sunday Night Football in Game 4 head-to-head, and they beat Monday Night Football head-to-head in Game 5. So that's somewhat of an accomplishment, I think. Granted, of course, well, look at the matchups. They aren't really that good. But, you know, they're averaging, like, in the low teens for millions of viewers, which isn't too bad, like 10, 12 million viewers, mm-hmm. which for a non-clinching game in this day and age is actually pretty decent. Yeah. Put it to you this way. It will not be the lowest-rated World Series of all time. It will not top the 2008 Yay World Series. Yeah, that's what I call it, the Yay World Series. I'm trying to bring it up right now. Please indulge me. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay, World Series Game 4 beats Sunday Night Football in ratings and total viewers. Game 4 did an overnight rating of 10.5, which averaged 15.39 million viewers. That narrowly beat Sunday Night Football, the Vikings and the Packers, with a 10.3 and 14.91 million viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So MLB's got to be happy about this. They're beating the NFL. I mean, yes, you can. It's lipstick on a pig. Look at the matchup. I would rather watch baseball than the Vikings and Packers. But they're beating the 800-pound gorilla of sports.
Wow.
So,
you know, speaking of baseball.
Yes.
Golden Gloves came out yesterday. Excuse me, Gold Glove winners came out yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
Just going to list these down, and I want to get your opinion on one of them. So I'm going to list the AL first. R.A. Dickey gets a Gold Glove, as well as Salvador Perez, Eric Hosmer, Dustin Pedroia, Manny Machado, J.J. Hardy, Alex Gordon, Adam Jones, and Shane Victorino.
He's come a long way from falling over himself before the ball comes even close to him.
Man, you get rid of Shane Victorino. He goes on to the World Series, having himself a decent playoffs.
He's not having a good playoffs.
No, he's from the defensive end, he's having himself a... You know what? They don't need his bat right now. They really don't.
Yeah.
They need him in the field. They need him to save some runs.
With the hopper.
With the hopper, yes. They need him to listen to the hopper, watch it under the guest bedroom. But he gets a Gold Glove.
I have no words.
I knew you wouldn't. I just had to bring that up. But let's go to the NL now. Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina, Paul Goldschmidt, Brandon Phillips, Nolan Arenado, Andrelton Simmons, Carlos Gonzalez, Carlos Gomez, and Gerardo Parra.
Parra.
A lot of newbies going on.
Yeah, a lot of young names, especially when you look at Atlanta. They're a young team, so you're going to see some names that make you say, who? But they all deserve it, in my estimation. They're all solid. I love the Goldschmidt one again, and he's a lock to win the first base Gold Glove for the foreseeable future. What a great young talent he is. He's going to be the reason why Arizona, or as it says here on MLB.com, Ariona, note to MLB.com, fix that, just saying.
Yeah. All right, well... last night was the start of the NBA season.
Oh, here we go. Round ball rock, baby.
And I'm happy.
I bet you are.
I'm very happy. My Knicks play tonight. I'm looking forward to that. But let's go over the three games that we had last night. Indiana Pacers knocking off the Orlando Magic 97-87. The high score for Indiana, of course, one of their better players in Paul George, 24 points. Roy Hibbert, 8 points, 16 total rebounds, 15 in the first half.
Yeah, he's the stud for that team. He is the stalwart for that team, and it was a block party in Indiana last night also.
7 blocks for him as well. It was 18 in total for the team.
Yeah, he was serving up blocks like I serve up nothing.
Yeah. And it's funny because we had a little bit of a surprise coming off the bench for the Orlando Magic, and that was Andrew Nicholson, who had 18 points in the I believe it was 16 points in the first half, finished the game with 18 on 8 of 10 shooting. Where did he come from? Nobody knows.
Nobody
knows. Then, of course, we had our two favorite former 76ers play last night, and Nikola Vucevic and Maurice Harkless.
I beg your pardon?
eh.
How dare you lump them into favorite Sixers of mine? No, 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 no.
No, no, no. Favorite Sixers of mine.
Oh. Oh, oh, because they're from Eastern Europe. Okay.
Not Maurice Harkless.
Well, I'm just saying. I just...
Maurice Harkless is from, I don't know where he's from. Yeah, I know he's from the States, but he ain't from around here. Let's continue. The big game of the night, of course, was the defending champion Miami Heat taking on the Chicago Bulls with Derrick Rose returning, the Heat knocking them off 107-95. The score is actually a lot closer than it really was in play, but Chicago had a better fourth quarter than the Miami Heat. The high score for Miami being being LeBron James 17 points, followed by Chris Bosh with 16. Mario Chalmers having himself a good game with 13 points, 5 steals, 4 assists. I picked him up on my fantasy team, and I dropped Steve Nash because that's how I roll.
Yeah, it is. But the biggest story of that game, well, first of all, let's mention that Miami was up, like you mentioned, 20, 25 points much of the...
Oh, they were up big time, yeah.
Second, third quarter, but they just took the foot off the accelerator in the fourth quarter, and then Chicago clawed their way back. Derrick Rose looked all right, I'd say.
You know, listen, for his first game back, 12 points, 4 assists, 4 of 15 of shooting, he was shooting a lot. Nothing was really falling for him, but, you know, this is his first competitive game back after missing all of last season. So.
Yeah, since April 12th of the previous year against my Sixers. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But there you go. And, of course, the biggest storyline, LeBron James's headband.
Oh, I thought you meant his receding hairline.
No, well, it goes in. I swear to you.
It goes higher and higher.
On a side-by-side of every year he had a headband on, which is every year he's played in the association. And you'll notice this year, his headband is wider.
Mm-hmm.
I am convinced it is a wider headband because of his as the Inside the NBA guy so awesomely put it, he's afraid to join the Bald Brotherhood.
Oh, boy. Let's look at it, though, from some of the other players over here in the Chicago. Carlos Boozer had the big game. 31 points, 7 rebounds. Joakim Noah, 11 rebounds, only 2 points. Jimmy Butler, the shooting guard now, going strong for the Chicago Bulls with 20 points on 6-12 shooting.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get a little more from their bench, though. Taj Gibson, Mike Dunleavy, both with 10 points. Kirk Heinrich with 6. Nazi Muhammad, Tony Snell, 0 points.
Nazi Muhammad, my former Sixer, favorite former
you like,
Sixer.
You like Nazi Muhammad, don't you?
Man, just like saying Nazi.
All right, let's bring in a quick call here from the 856 area code. I believe that's Jersey, huh?
Yes, it is.
All right, 856, what's going on?
Oh, guys, cut it out.
Oh, it's our good friend Brett Daniels.
It's Brett Coulier.
That was my best Uncle Joey impression. I'm still jealous.
That was terrible.
That was on a scale of 1 to 10, that was about a negative 6.
Yeah.
Well,
you mentioned Dave Coulier. We haven't yet plugged it. We were going to at the end of the show. But since you have said it, we'll say it right now. Joining us on November 6th will be actor-comedian Dave Coulier. If you don't know the name, he played Joey on Full House, and he's voiced so many of the cartoons throughout the late 80s into the early 90s that a lot of you grew up on. So he'll be with us on November 6th.
We are trying to figure out if he's going to bring the jackalope from America's Funniest People with him, but we'll see about that.
I'm hoping he brings Mr. Woodchuck with him.
Is that total nerd of word?
Oh, my goodness. But he is a big hockey fan. He does a lot of charity hockey things and what have you.
Absolutely. We're going to talk hockey with Dave Coulier. It's
going to
be fun.
He's going to be our Don Cherry. What?
No, not at all. No. Not at all. What's going on, Brett?
Yeah, okay. What's
you know
up,
not
Brett?
Much. I heard you guys talking a little bit of basketball, and unfortunately for Jim and I, our Sixers they start tonight, and it's gonna be a tough year. We are in full tank mode. But
Tank McLotto is our new mascot.
Well, dude, didn't you hear the NBA placed the 76ers on the injured reserve? They're not playing tonight.
That would be fantastic, actually. I hope they do that all season.
Yeah, I was watching Inside the NBA this morning when they re-aired it on NBA TV, and they had a little segment where Chris Webber is looking all posh in his ascot and everything, and he says, and he pays tribute to all the players that don't get the attention they deserve. So they did a little scroll, and then at the very bottom, the last one, any player for the 76ers. I'm like, yeah, it's about right.
You're saying about players not getting the attention that they deserve, and that's actually the reason behind why I'm calling today, because I don't know if you guys talked about it already. I just walked in the door. But the other day, LeBron James made a quote that really stood out to me, something that I earned a, really, you know, earned him a lot of respect in my eyes anyway. But he gave some props to Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson, who is retiring today. I believe that the news conference is in an hour. And he's officially retiring. And LeBron James said that Allen Iverson is pound for pound probably the greatest player to ever play in the NBA. Obviously, that's debatable. But AI was a little guy, and he could do some really, really magical and amazing things. And I do think AI will go down as one of the all-time greats. I really liked hearing a current player choose Allen Iverson to kind of give him props in the way that he did. You know, I feel like Iverson isn't respected or given a lot of the accolades that he deserves today. And I know that that's mostly due to what happens off the court with AI from time to time. But I was just wondering, you know, what are your guys' thoughts on what LeBron James said about Allen Iverson being one of the pound-for-pound all-time greats? And do you agree? And do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Go ahead, John. I'll let you lead off.
You know, that's tough. I always go back to, we always use the Hall of Fame here as an example. With Tracy McGrady retiring, Grant Hill, Jason Kidd, and, you know, he's going to have a lot of names to go up against when it comes down to the Hall of Fame ballot. And I think there's going to be a couple of players on that ballot that are probably going to get in before him. You know, if you win a championship, absolutely. But I think, unfortunately, it shouldn't come down to that. But I think that's what a lot of people are going to look at when the ballots come out. I think he is one of the better players. I wouldn't say he's going to be going down in history as one of the all-time greats of the game. I do think he's going to go down as one of the better players in the game. Does he make it to the Hall of Fame? I think eventually he does, but I think a couple other players are going to get in before him.
It's interesting because the words that were said by LeBron, oh boy, I'm going to be sick. He may well be right. Pound for pound, he's one of the greatest players who's ever played the game, Allen Iverson, that is. Of course, you have to remember Allen Iverson was about 6 feet tall and all of 165 pounds soaking wet, if that. But he went up against the Giants, and he showed reckless abandon. He showed no fear. And reckless abandonment is really the right term because he was injured so often because he would – I mean, when he came out, look at – you know, when he was out there before the starting lineups, look at how much tape, athletic tape. You know, he had like turf tape on him, for God's sakes, at various times it looked like, because he was just that kind of a baller. Is he going to be a Hall of Famer? Maybe, but again, the injuries caught up with him. His reputation preceded him.
Yeah.
And as you said, John, he didn't win the championship a dozen or so years ago, and that's going to stick. But he truly was a one-man team. He was a one-man wrecking machine because, well, when you have to play with Todd McCullough, you have to be a one-man wrecking machine.
Todd McCullough was the man.
I'm a bit shocked. I mean, neither – I would think that Allen Iverson is an absolute surefire Hall of Famer.
First
seems
ballot?
Like you guys are both
first ballot? I don't think so. I honestly don't
probably
think so.
Probably not first ballot. I mean, first ballot is pretty rare.
Yeah, he's going to get in, but it's going to take probably a ballot or two, you know, probably, you know, 2 to 3 ballots before he does get in.
I think it takes longer than
that. I would think AI deserves to be in more than some of the other guys you mentioned earlier, like Tracy McGrady and – Grant Hill. I mean, I think that.
Well,
AI
Tracy McGrady, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Grant Hill, you have a question mark on, I think. Right now, to be fair though, John would put Grant Hill in the Hall of Fame just because he's co-hosting the new NBA Inside stuff.
Absolutely, man, and I think Ahmad Rashad should be in the Hall of Fame as well.
For what? The number of main.
I think he should be in not only the NBA Hall of Fame, but he should also be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Oh, stop the pain, please.
I'm telling you, I'm going to get a replica of his bust, man, just for you, Jim. I'm going to put it in your room. It's going to stare at you while you sleep, and it's going to say, my main man.
Oh, my goodness. Stop the pain.
But honestly, no, you know what? Going back to his comments about pound for pound, you know, probably the best player ever. You know, I kind of look at Allen Iverson, and I got to try to compare him to a guy like Tiny Archibald, man. You know, to me, Tiny Archibald, pound for pound, you know, was probably one of the best players. You got to rank them up against guys like that in order to say, you know, pound for pound, because they're around the same height, the same weight, and, you know, possibly had some of the same teams around them. So, you know, it's a good comment by LeBron, but I think, you know what, when you come out with comments like that, you really got to do a lot more of your homework
mm-hmm.
before you do it. So,
Good stuff, guys. Thank you for answering my question.
Thanks
maybe
a lot, man.
LeBron's lending him some money. Maybe that's why he's being nice. I don't know. Why?
He owes AI's baby mama some dough.
Well, I wasn't going to go that far, but all right.
I'll go that far, man. I'll take it that
of
far.
Of course you will, because you don't care.
I do, but I don't right now.
You know, that's right.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate
Brett
it.
Daniel, ladies and gentlemen. My main man.
Let's look at one of the other bigger games from last night. We did have three games on the bill, and that was the battle in Los Angeles as the Los Angeles Lakers defeated the Clippers 116-103. Nobody saw that coming. The big man over at the Los Angeles Lakers was shooting guard Xavier Henry with 22 points off the bench. Really nothing from Steve Nash, really nothing from Steve Blake, absolutely nothing from Sean Williams. We got 15 points from Pau Gasol, 13 from Nick Young, but it really was the bench for the Los Angeles Lakers that did it last night against the Clippers.
Well, remember, there's no Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard's gone, Steve Nash isn't 100%.
No.
It's pretty remarkable. And Xavier Henry after the game saying, the Lakers are for real this year, end quote. Talk to me in April. Okay?
Nah, listen, you know what? They got a lot of holes in this team.
They are the B team. They are the B team
in
Los Angeles.
Clippers are coming in with some new players, a new head coach. I mean, right off the bat, you got J.J. Redick. You got Jared Dudley coming in. You know, Antoine Jameson in the play. So, you know, Willie Green's there. It's... You know, these guys didn't play, but it's a new system. It's a new system. And honestly, besides Chris Kanem I think it was just Chris Kanem. I mean, all those players have been around, and Sean Williams have been around, the Lakers. And, of course, it's still going to be Steve Nash and Pau Gasol's team until Bryant comes back. But, you know, the starting five for the Clippers did it. The starting five for the Lakers didn't. It was the bench.
Absolutely. It was a bench parade.
Yeah.
Henry with 22, Farmer with 16, Jody Meeks, another great Farmer Sixer.
Chris Kamen, I mean, with 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks, I mean, having a center that can come off the bench and, you know, give you a valuable 20 minutes and get you those kind of numbers, I mean, that's huge.
And just a huge fourth quarter, outscoring the Clippers 41-24 to put it away.
Yes.
Just phenomenal doings by the Lake Show. Still, they are the B team in Los Angeles, as far as I'm concerned, and will be for the foreseeable future. So.
We do have 14 games on the bill for tonight, Jim. I'm a little happy about that, so let's take a look at some of these games tonight. The New York Knicks opening up at home at MSG against the Milwaukee Bucks. The Brooklyn Nets visiting Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers. The Miami Heat coming to... to take on Nerlens Noel, Philadelphia 76ers.
Can we sign Iverson back for one night? Just bring him back one night. Do a crossover on LeBron. I'm begging you.
I hate to say, but Iverson in the shape he's in right now can do a lot better than your starting five. So.
Well, I'm going to put it to you this way. Here is how Mark Zumoff or any of the announcers covering this game should handle it, okay? Mm-hmm. Here we go. The opening tip is up, and the Sixers season is over. That's you know, the ball is tipped, the season is over. Welcome to Tanky McLotto land.
Maybe Nerlens Noel will come limping out like Willis Reed. No, that's not happening.
Here comes Willis.
All right, man. The Boston Celtics taking on the Toronto Raptors tonight. The Washington Wizards going to take on the revamped, newly-looking, really good-looking Detroit Pistons. I honestly think that's going to be a sleeper this season in the NBA.
Ooh. Sexy pick from you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Bobcats taking on the Houston Rockets down in Texas. Orlando Magic.
This could be an interesting year for the Bobcats, okay?
It could be. It could very well be. I think we're going to have to, probably on Friday, you and I are going to have to take a look at the teams and maybe put in our predictions of the top teams in each conference.
Mine will be like Charles Barkley doing college basketball. That'll be fun.
No, we got a Charles Barkley story coming up right after this. So.
Oh, that's not terrible.
That's okay. Going to be good. Orlando Magic taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Pacers, who played last night and won and are now 1-0 in the season, taking on the new logo, the new team, the New Orleans Pelicans. Our good friend Chucky Brown, scout for the Pelicans.
Our main man.
He says they're going to have a good season. We'll see what the Pelicans can do.
Well, no disrespect to Chucky. He works for them. Of course he's going to.
I asked
Chucky's
him
the main man.
I spoke to Chucky today, and I asked him straight up. I said, you know, because he's at the New Orleans Pelicans practice right now, and I said, who do you think is going to really stand out this season? For it? Of course, Anthony Davis is one that they're really counting on. Tyreek Evans, who they got in a trade with the Sacramento Kings, but he says that they're really relying heavily on Drew Holiday. And they think, you know, they think he could do something good down there.
Drew's going to have himself a season, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, Drew is going to have himself a season.
I think so. I honestly think so. You know, I had a discussion with Chucky Brown about that, and I said, I honestly think, you know what? You can't make a guy like Drew Holiday, same way where I told you, Jim, you can't make a guy like Andre Iguodala the star of your team when he can't be the star, but he could be that guy to lean on as a role player.
Exactly. Some people are meant to be role players. Some are meant to be superstars.
Yeah. And you know what? They got them some good players down here in New Orleans, so we'll see what happens.
And some are meant to be Todd McCullough. Yes.
Absolutely. All right, man. The Atlanta Hawks taking on the Dallas Mavericks. The I was going to say Vancouver Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies taking on the San Antonio Spurs. The eighth wonders there.
Is Big Country, were you still on the team?
Big Country Reeves and Bobby Hurley still balling it up.
Bobby Hurley, oh, man.
Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Utah Jazz.
Oh, the New Orleans Jazz, you mean, right? Okay.
The New Orleans Jazz. Got me laughing now. The Portland Trail Blazers taking on the Phoenix Suns. The Denver Nuggets taking on the Sacramento Kings. And I like this match. This game is going to be a good one tonight. The Los Angeles Lakers taking on one of my favorites this season, the Golden State Warriors.
Mark Jackson knows how to coach them up.
Absolutely. All right, man. Here goes our Charles Barkley story of the night. He was brutally honest last night. They asked, who is your Western Conference playoff picks between Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny the Jet Smith, and Charles Barkley? Of course, Shaquille O'Neal says Spurs, Thunder, and Clippers are his top three. Kenny Smith says Rockets, Clippers, and Thunder are his top three. Charles Barkley says, I'm not an expert, Ernie.
Ernie. I do not make picks. I'm not going to be a knucklehead, Ernie. That'd be terrible. That'd be terrible if I did that, Ernie.
This is the first time I think Charles Barkley's not putting himself out in the line by saying...
Because you know what? My picks are terrible. That's why. My picks is terrible. And if you watch me, I watch my bracket when I do the college basketball, it's terrible. Ernie, and your bow tie's terrible. You look like Orville Redenbacher, Ernie.
Oh, man.
Orville Redenbacher Jr.
Charles is going to call in one day, man, after hearing this, and he's going to have
I hope he does. I love Charles. Charles is my main man.
If all babies are pretty, why are there so many ugly people in the world? Charles Barkley with a moderate shot on NBA Inside Stuff.
Oh, that's the greatest. That's the dream team right there.
Cool news coming out of Houston with the Rockets says Patrick Beverley is going to be the starting point guard for the Houston Rockets tonight, not Jeremy Lin. So it's the end already of Linsanity, at least for the beginning of the season, down in Houston. And I got to say,
Everybody
knocked the New York Knicks for letting Jeremy Lin leave and signing this big, ridiculous deal with the Houston Rockets. And so far, the Knicks are looking like geniuses.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Linsanity was great while it lasted, but now everything must to everything turn. There is a season turn, and a time to every purpose under heaven.
Yeah.
As the birds famously sang.
Beverly has played the last 5 years overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Here he comes into the NBA. He joined the Houston Rockets last season, and I mean, he outplayed Jeremy Lin the entire preseason. This is a guy that you invested a lot of money in to help lead this team.
Sure.
And guess what? He's not starting for this Houston Rockets team.
No, he isn't.
Oh, well, that's the end of Linsanity down there. Magic Johnson talking again.
Is he trying to bring back the Magic Hour one more time?
The Magic Hour with his blue thong. Oh, no, the Dodgers.
Oh, no, no. That image.
I'm going to throw out this quote. This is directly from Magic Johnson. Begin quote. Lakers fans are spoiled. I don't know how they're going to react now because this is going to be a tough season. This is going to be one of the roughest seasons that the Lakers have ever faced. You're waiting on Kobe to see if he can get healthy. Nobody knows if he could be what he was. Then you've got Pau Gasol, who I think is a premier big man, but he plays better when he has talent around him, end quote. After the Lakers won last night, pretty good game against the Los Angeles Clippers. Laker fans, Magic Johnson just called you spoiled.
And you know what? He's right.
He hit the nail on the head.
He is, you know.
I'm glad he said it.
Well, and he tell me he's wrong. He's absolutely right.
They've
had so much talent go through the Forum and now the Staples Center over the last, let's say, 30, 35 years, of which he was a large part of it, let's not forget. And, you take it for granted that, you know what, this team eventually is going to have a rocky road. And they've hit the rocky road portion of things. Yeah, they've been so successful, and they've been always one of those teams that you know they're always going to be in the playoffs. But now it's not a given this year. They may not make the playoffs this year. And everybody who's saying, it's one game, it's one game. It's an 82-game season. Talk to me at midseason. Talk to me when Kobe comes back, okay?
Yeah.
You know, just...
Kobe will come back. I don't think it's going to be Kobe from, four, five, 6 years ago.
No, of course
not. But Kobe's going to come back and be effective. I mean, he's going to help out the Lakers. There's no question about it. I mean, a guy like Kobe Bryant, he's not just going to come back if he doesn't think he can and not be an effective player.
Speaking of which, let me ask this question. We always talk about it when it comes to baseball and the romanticism that is one player staying with one team their entire career. It's sort of the same thing with basketball. Does Kobe end up playing his final game, not the season? I mean, in the final game of his career, does he play it as a Laker? Does he stay in Los Angeles for life?
I hope so. I really do. A guy like Kobe Bryant needs to play with one team. You know, he gave so much to those fans, and I think the organization owes it to him to let him retire a Laker, unless he doesn't want to. I saw some of my favorites go to different teams. I mean, hell, you know what? Even Michael Jordan going to Washington, I thought was a damn shame. Watching Patrick Ewing, have a Seattle Supersonics and an Orlando Magic jersey on was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a guy who followed his entire career only to let the last couple of years of his career – be played with, Seattle and be played with Orlando. And I believe he actually played with I could be wrong right now. I'm just going to throw it out there because, I haven't thought about it in a long time. But I think he played a season with Toronto.
One doubt it.
I'm not sure. No, actually, he didn't play. I'm sorry. I was thinking of somebody else. But anyway, it is heartbreaking to see a guy who is so much a part of that franchise don another jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I really would love to see – And I'm not a fan of Kobe Bryant personally, but I can respect what Kobe Bryant has done in the court now, more so now than I did years ago, and he deserves to retire a Laker. Because honestly, if Kobe Bryant goes to Toronto or he goes to the Grizzlies, it's not the same.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
It really isn't the same.
It would devalue his career a little bit.
I think so. I think guys like, Jordan should have stayed with the Bulls. And you know what? If they didn't want him anymore, they should have figured out a way to make him retire or get him to retire a Bull. Guys like that, I'm sorry, but they even deserve to, even be on a team if they're not effective anymore, if they don't want to retire yet.
Mm.
I would have loved to have seen guys like Grant Hill retire with Detroit Pistons. Even LeBron James, it would have been nice to see him stay with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and even if he didn't win anything, they're retire a Cleveland Cavalier. To me, I think that would have put more on his career than following Chris Bosh going to Miami and playing for another superstars team.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. Even Melo, I'm happy to see him in Nick. I hope he wins here in New York. He's from New York. He played at Syracuse. He'll be an instant stud here if he does. But it would have been nice to see him retire at Denver Nugget. So,
oh, absolutely.
There's just certain players. It's not these little role players like J.J. Redick and, even John Starks. I hated seeing him leave the Knicks. He goes to the Warriors. He went to the Jazz for a little bit. It's those big guys that you want to see retire with the team that they've been with their whole career. So,
mm-hmm. You'll get no argument from me. You're spot on.
Yeah. Let's stick with the NBA trend here real quick. And we also want to just send our apologies out to our listeners today. For some reason, we're just not able to get D.B. Sweeney on the line for some reason. I don't know if there's a technical difficulty between the lines. We tried a few times already. But we'll talk to him.
We'll have him back on a future show, hopefully.
Yeah, we definitely will try to reschedule with him and get him on as well. Before we do that, Monday, former NBA player Billy Owens will be joining us at 12 p.m. Eastern time to talk NBA with Jim and I. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, November 6th, that Wednesday, we're going to be joined by Dave Coulier. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
It's part of the 24/7 Sports Hub Radio, November to Remember.
I like that. ECW?
ECW.
I love my November to Remember pay-per-views. Anyway,
Yes, indeed.
Let's get to this. An anonymous NBA general manager admits that his team is actively trying to lose games this season to get a higher draft pick and to maybe go after who? Mr. Wiggins himself.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
Well, it's nice to know the Sixers have their plans in order. Oh, what? Did that come out? I'm sorry. Sixers? Oh.
I wonder.
I really believe it's the Sixers. I who else could it be? I mean, maybe Phoenix. Maybe who else are they hypothesizing in the comments on this article? The Suns are another team they hypothesize, but maybe even the Celtics. But it sounds like the 76ers to me.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that, you know, that's the way Sam Hinkie rolls? You think he'd come out anonymously and say, yeah, we're trying to lose?
Well, I mean, he's like, yeah, pretty much. Hmm. Well, what does he have to lose right now?
Well, I wonder if they did that because of drafting Nerlens Noel, sitting him out the entire season now before he even donned the 76ers jersey.
Find him 2.0.
And say, you know what, let's try to get number one so we can pair up Michael Carter-Williams, Nerlens Noel, with Wiggins.
And you know what? It's a no-brainer, and really it speaks to the fact that the NBA has had it so wrong for so long. Yeah. They reward you. NBA lottery be damned, okay? Mm-hmm. They reward the teams that tank. Mm-hmm. They reward teams that screw off and piss off their fans by tanking a season. You know this, I know this. They've done it for decades. You know, yeah. The lottery's a big Travis Sham mockery as far as I'm concerned.
Well, especially the NBA lottery.
Well, you know, that's what I'm talking about. The New Jersey lottery is more stable than the hell, the Pennsylvania lottery, when they had that little scandal where they had one person buy a bunch of the tickets because they weighted the balls. That's more legit than the NBA lottery.
Yeah.
So it's a mess. It's just a mess. But it doesn't surprise me that this happens. I think you're always going to have teams to do this every year. And truth be told, if it is the Sixers the Sixers GM, who is the GM who came out with this, and even notwithstanding, I would want outside of this opening night where Allen Iverson is retiring as a 76er and coming back onto the court one more time, I want a three-quarters empty Wells Fargo Center.
I don't know, man. I've always heard people say, oh, yeah, you know, like, of course with the Mets, let's just continue to lose so we can get a higher draft pick. And it's like, you know what, man, as a fan, I don't want to see that. You know, who the hell wants to see a losing season, man? I'd like to see them compete as hard as they can. You know what, and if they lose almost every game, as long as I see my guys just playing their asses off, that's what I want to see. You know, I don't want to go to a game knowing that, oh, yeah, they're going to tank it because they want a draft pick. I'm sorry, but you know, if you're a fan and you can agree with that, and that's your hopes to try to get somebody like Andrew Wiggins, you're not a fan. I'm sorry. You know,
no,
that's just me. But
I mean, I understand being there through the bad times and the good times, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It is what it is.
They're crumb bums.
There are crumb bums. Anyway. That's basically it for today's show. Once again, we want to send out our apologies to our listeners and everybody tuning in today. For some reason, we just couldn't connect with actor D.B. Sweeney via our telephone line, but we will hopefully reschedule with him and get him on sometime in the near future. Mm-hmm.
It is a good movie. Check it out, underdogsthemovie.com.
Yeah, it comes out November 1st in theaters.
Comes out, and it'll be available on demand a few days later.
Absolutely. Video on demand November 5th, so
there we go.
Check it out. So for Jim Williams, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Thank you for tuning in today to 24/7 Sports Hub Radio, and we'll see you Friday.
We will see you if you'll see us.